Welcome to the Womb Alchemy Podcast, your source for pulling back the veil on women's health, fertility, motherhood, and feminine spirituality. I'm Sabrina Orania. I'm the founder of Womb Alchemist and the Rose Sciences Mastermind. I'm a certified holistic health coach, womb wellness practitioner, and fertility awareness educator. My mission is to inspire you to step fully into your wild power and sacral sovereignty through body literacy, attuning to your ancestral womb wisdom, remembering your innate moon cycle magic, and liberating your feminine radiance so you can embody the goddess you truly are. I also support new and aspiring womb wellness practitioners in expanding their knowledge of women's health and growing their businesses and impact. I offer one-on-one mentorships for women who are ready to heal the root causes of their menstrual, fertility, and reproductive health challenges, and also offer online courses such as the PMS codes and Get Off Birth Control and Step Into Sovereign Womanhood. I'm also mother to two beautiful little girls. I'm stoked you're here. So it's my first podcast back in a while, and I'm going to take this opportunity to give a really personal and revealing share into what has been going on in my life the last few months that I have taken away from doing podcasts and that I really wasn't very minimally on social media. And I've been kind of leaving some hints here and there about the fact that I've been struggling with some health issues, but I was waiting for an opportunity to feel like I could tell the whole story and really waiting for some level of, I guess not closure, because the journey of your health never has any ending to it. But till I felt like I had reached a place of deeper understanding about what exactly I've been dealing with. And that has happened, and I'm finally feeling prepared to share this experience. So just to create some context, it is now the last day of June, 2023, and I started dealing with the health issues that I've been having, or at least the symptoms that were plaguing me in January. Also, I had my second baby in September of last year. So January, I was really only like 4 months postpartum and began having issues actually with my teeth. This is a whole other long story, but a lot of my healing journey has been around dental things, from inherited genes around teeth to horrible diet as a child to terrible protocols and traumatic experiences with my teeth. Astrologically, from my birth chart, I have a pretty powerful Saturn alignment that to me is very much the story of my teeth. So whenever I go through big Saturn transits, dental stuff comes up. So needless to say, that was happening for me. So basically right around Christmas time, it was like right before Christmas, we had my partner's family in town visiting. They were meeting, you know, Fifi, our second daughter, for the first time. And I began having pretty extreme pain in a tooth. This specific tooth was an old root canal from some of this horrid dental work I'd had done in my past. But it had chipped, I should just say cracked, during pregnancy. Wasn't surprised by this because I came to realize through both my pregnancies that all of my dead teeth, which is to say the teeth in my mouth that had been root canaled, which are just dead teeth sitting in my mouth, all began falling apart during my pregnancies. And obviously my body realized this is dead. We don't need to provide this with anything. So let's start taking all the minerals out of it. At least that's what makes perfect sense to me. So essentially what happened was that tooth had cracked in pregnancy. I was kind of delaying doing anything about it till after I had the baby. All of a sudden the pain comes in pretty intense out of nowhere. You know, I hadn't been feeling pain before then until December. But my regular dentist, who I don't even really like down here in Mexico, but who at least has been workable for me in the time I've been down here, wasn't available because their office was closed for the holidays. I waited several days. I leaned on ibuprofen, which I fucking never take. I really avoid pain medicine until things are really out of control. But if you've experienced dental pain, which I'm sure most of you had at some point or another, you know, it's pretty mind numbing. So anyway, went through that process, found another dentist, they ended up removing the tooth. And so I'm now letting that area heal. The reason I bring all this up is because what was coming up during the infection of that tooth was I was getting inflammation in my sinuses because the tooth was up on the top, right? This is one of my back molars on the top. And so I began to have sinus pain and pressure. And then my eye was swelling, my right eye. And I was getting these crazy dizzy spells. And it was really hard to piece together what was going on, but it seemed like the infection had spread to my sinuses and could potentially go up into my brain. Obviously, that's the concern. And so I really, honestly, I really avoided antibiotics. And so I reached out to a practitioner I know who sells really good health products in Guadalajara, not far from where we are in Mexico. And overnight, he had shipped to me a whole protocol. Obviously I was always doing all the mouth stuff I do, but like a much more rinsing with salt water, like regularly throughout the day, all of that kind of stuff. My normal tongue scraping and my oil pulling with ozonated oil and all the things. But at this point, needing to, you know, do something more drastic, I also got a bunch of herbal antibiotics. And so I was like doing a pretty intensive protocol of a couple different herbal antibiotics several times a day. From your oregano oil to this powdered based one that has a bunch of different things in it. And anyway, whatever. I'm really focused on that protocol for a bit. 2 weeks later, it seemed like things had kind of cleared. But then after a couple of days, the infection came back worse. And so at this point, I caved. I went and I got amoxicillin. I took a course of amoxicillin. Same thing happened. Seemed like things got better for a few days and then it would get worse. And now this time I was having major fevers in the middle of the night. I mean, I had a night that I called a girlfriend because I was shivering. I was in the bathtub. I couldn't even figure out how to get out of the bathtub to get into bed. And I was really concerned that I might die that night because the fever was intense. I was kind of in a delirium. My grandmother had recently passed away. She passed away in January. So you can tell this is all going through from the end of December into January, really how my year started off. My grandmother had just passed away the day that I actually had the tooth removed, which to me was very interesting of a correlation. So anyway, in this night, a couple weeks later of like total delirium in my feverish state, I like had a visitation from my grandmother and had this whole encounter with death that was very intense for me. In the morning, actually starting at like 4 a.m., there was a military parade going down the street here in San Miguel and it woke me up and it was like amazing because generally I'd be really annoyed by that, but I felt like I might die through the night and that those like drums marching down the street were like, you're alive, like keep fighting another day. It was really intense. So at that point, I end up needing to go to the hospital. I'm having experiences where aside from having a fever, I'm getting into these states where I feel incredibly dizzy and confused and disoriented. I sort of lose my ability to begin to talk. And I just like need to kind of sit there and I feel so uncomfortable. And I really couldn't explain this to the doctors or anybody when I was expressing like what I was experiencing. The closest description I could get to it was one that probably a lot of doctors wouldn't even relate to or understand. But I experimented quite a lot in my like early college years with ecstasy and MDMA. And there is a specific feeling when the nervous system under that medicine is really hyperstimulated, where there's these like chills, but they're different than normal chills. And like this lack of ability to like focus on communication. I just can't relate the experience I was having to anything other than that, minus the other pleasurable things that you can experience when you're on MDMA. So it was really hard for me to get across what I was experiencing, but it was happening more frequently throughout this time. And I thought it was part of the infection. Cause that's what seemed relevant given everything that was going on with me. And so we went to the doctor a few times, the hospital a few times actually. And I was getting like really dizzy. Eventually they switched me to another set of antibiotics. One time I went in and they gave me an antibiotic injection into my butt because I was like feeling like I was about to faint on the table. And they interpreted that as the infection had gotten like drastically severe, which what I'm saying right now is there was an infection, but it may or may not be true that those specific symptoms that I was having was even related to what was going on with my teeth. Like at this point, I'm rethinking a lot of that. But I started to wonder, am I feeling weird because of the antibiotics? Like, is this actually the antibiotics affecting me and making me have these strange experiences in consciousness? All the while, I'm still trying to do other stuff. Like, I really hate that this is the path I'm going on. So I've been going to different practitioners locally who offer ozone therapy. I was doing ozone I was doing ozone in my gums initially, but at this point I was doing it up into my sinuses and I was doing it rectally. Like I was really focusing on all the things that I could do to knock this infection out. It was kind of feeling like the infection, you know, it was energetically becoming this like encounter with death or this darkness in my world that I was like negotiating with every day. So something a lot deeper was happening in my psyche. And I wasn't surprised to some degree that I was experiencing all of this because from an astrological perspective, I was encountering my lunar return, my second lunar return, where the nodes, your north and south node, which are 180 degrees apart from each other, return back to where they were, where you were born. I had had this happen before when I was 17, 18, and that was one of the worst years of my young adult life. And that year, aside from two experiences with being raped, which was rather dark, obviously, and intense, I also contracted some very strange illness that later came out to be an unusual staph infection, where I had grown these big lumps on my shins, and then they were starting to grow on my arms that were so painful that I was crippled. I couldn't walk and I was using a wheelchair. I missed the first like month and a half of my senior year of high school. And I was like grappling with the possibility that I could either die or like never be able to walk again. And we had gone through antibiotics. This was another time in my life when I went through a serious round of antibiotics and it was not successful. Just like this time, the first antibiotic was not successful. And I ended up needing steroids. So fast forward to this situation, it was like, not surprising that I'm having something like this come up, dealing with my health, south node in my sixth house of health, that in Scorpio, you know, that I'm really having to grapple with. Okay, so the immediacy of the infection over like February and then into March has been dealt with. But I'm still having continual headaches that feel like they are mostly in my right temple, but not like migraines like I used to get it as a child. I really wasn't able to stock it up to migraines. Pressure behind my right eye, which continued to make me think about the infection because that was the same eye that was swollen that I was having pressure behind before. And these headaches are happening for me every night, just like these dizzy spells that I'd been experiencing when I was in the kind of height of the infection was also happening every night. Those weird, not even just dizzy, but kind of consciousness altering, uncomfortable spells that I was having. So they were still happening for me every evening. And then at some point, as we move into our new house, we're here in March and April, they begin to happen more frequently. Like I'm not just having the headaches at night, they're starting to happen. They're starting to happen as soon as I wake up in the morning. They're starting to come and go throughout the middle of the day. And these dizzy spells are still happening. I don't know, whatever I want to call them. Those things are still happening, but they're kind of like here and there. It's kind of confusing as to how, when they're going to happen. It could happen in the daytime. It could not happen for a week. And then it could happen for like several hours. But this is all going on to a point where I'm feeling debilitated. Granted, I'm still seeing clients. I'm still working. I'm still with my kids. I'm still doing all of the things, but it was, I never knew if I was, I mean, in general, I was just expecting to feel bad every day. And emotionally that took a huge toll on me. I feel like most of this year has been a blur of just feeling at the whim of my physical body and it not, I guess what I want to say is it felt like I was not like I was losing trust with my body so much. I knew that my body was just trying to express symptoms to me, but unlike the language of hormones, which I speak pretty well, you know, this was all very weird and foreign. And so I felt like I just didn't understand what it was trying to tell me. And we had gone all these down these avenues and we were not finding answers and it was getting to be very depressing. So I end up going to get an MRI on the behest of my doctor. Actually, before then, we tried something called neural therapy, which is basically injections in my face, into my sinuses that could help with healing any kind of in interference in the natural nerve connections or conversations in these areas that, can often happen as a result of dental surgery and infections and things like that. But it didn't bring me any relief. We did some trigger points in my neck that didn't bring me any relief. I've been seeing my physical therapist regularly, and I would feel better for a day or two after seeing him, but not long term. It would definitely not give me a whole bunch of relief. So I went to get this MRI. When the MRI comes back, which that in itself was a huge journey and really interesting, given that I've really delved into this Healy world and thinking about magnets as healing, I was really nervous about going in for the MRI. I'd never had one before, and I thought about the fact that there were these giant magnets, and I started to really look into healing with magnets. Obviously, this is another conversation, but I thought it's worth bringing up. It's very intriguing. But obviously, in Western medicine, MRIs are used as a diagnostic tool. But I was like, when I was in there, the only way I could let myself really relax was this idea that even just being there with magnets this powerful, they were doing something good to me and they were beginning to heal me. And that was really the meditation I held for the whole like 30 minutes that I was like in this machine and unable to move. So the MRI comes back with some major inflammation in one of my sinuses, one of my maxillary sinuses, which, given that I've had all this dental infection in that sinus, I was worried that maybe a root canal from another tooth behind the tooth that I had pulled had punctured into my sinuses, and maybe was like there was this communication happening of bacteria between there. Anyway, that was all inflamed. And then one of my sphenoid sinuses, which is like up near your eyes, was impacted. And this was on the eye that I was having a lot of pain with, and that where there was some liquid in there. So we're thinking there is still maybe some really resistant strains of bacteria that are living in my sinuses that we have to address. So I went to an EMT. The EMT prescribed me a few medications, but the only one I agreed to take was the nasal steroid to bring down the inflammation. Meanwhile, and this is something I've been doing since my whole protocol in, January, I am doing neti pots every day with, salt water. And then at this point, when I discovered that it was like possibly an infection deeper in my sinuses, I bought this like high-tech nasal pulse irrigation machine, and I was putting not just salt, but occasionally iodine, sometimes very diluted hydrogen peroxide. I said iodine already. Some herbal drops, like all kinds of stuff, into this like nasal irrigation stuff to go and clean out whatever was going on in there. And so I was doing neti pots twice, sometimes three times a day, and I had a whole routine. It was like, do the neti pot, lay my head upside down, let it irrigate much into the deeper sinuses, flip my head back over, obviously blow my nose. I have a machine, not machine, I have like a contraption next to me here, which is called the Machen salt inhaler, but it basically is Himalayan salt, and I would put like the breathe formula from doTERRA, essential oils in it, and literally do alternate nostril nasal breathing with this halogen basically device, halotherapy, salt therapy, salt inhalation in and out through my nose to like go in and help clear the bacteria. And then every night I was doing, this is the only thing that seemed like it was helping with my headaches at the moment, was I was doing this whole routine for like 20 minutes of different types of sinus drainage facial movements and massage, which was everything from like pressing my tongue up to the roof of my mouth while pushing in between my eyebrows to, I mean, all kinds of stuff. Oh my God. It was, and I'm really glad actually that I found those because I really like that as a practice and something I probably will bring in a lot more anytime I get congested up there. But so that was like what I was doing every day. Eventually, I even got a nebulizer that I was nebulizing hydrogen peroxide, saline water to clear out anything that might be in there. Okay, so at this point, my sinuses are starting to get better, as you would expect, but my headaches are still not going away, and these dizzy spells are still happening. And so I had been waiting for my visit with my ENT for a result of a nasal swab to see what type of bacteria it was, such that if I had to take another round of antibiotics, we could pick something that was very targeted for that specific bacteria that maybe wasn't resistant to something I'd already taken. And that test came back negative, like negative for bacteria, bad bacteria, I suppose. Obviously, there's bacteria in your sinus cavity, but I'd been probably bombing them too, because I've been doing the ozone insufflation through my nose, and I've been doing all of the stuff I'm talking about through my sinuses. So I'm like, I shouldn't be surprised. But then all of a sudden, my whole theory about how all of this is caused by ongoing infection of my sinuses from my dental infection begins to fall apart. And I'm back at square one about, like, I don't even fucking know what's wrong with me. And I'm still feeling horrible every day. And I was starting to get really depressed too, because I was looking at myself in the mirror and my face looked so sunken and pale, and I just didn't look good. And that was really scaring me a lot, actually. I started to have thoughts of, like, what if I have some crazy disease? What if my head is hurting because I'm having a brain tumor and I'm, like, not going to live to be here for my children? And, you know, I mean, in those places of chronic pain, I was definitely welcomed into some dark spaces of my mind that feels good to honestly admit, like, how scary and vulnerable that was. Because I didn't feel like I could really express it on the outside. You know, here I am being a mom. I've got to, like, hold it together, you know? But in some moments with my partner, with Taylor, like, yeah, I was like, babe, I can't live this way. Like, if this is how things are going to be, I can't be in pain like this all the time. Okay, so at this point, I decided to go to a neurologist because I'm like, I've exhausted other avenues. I guess a neurologist is who you go to if you have a lot of headaches. My mother has had migraines her whole life. I used to have them as a child, but not really in my adult life. And so, you know, I just talked to her, like, what do you do? You know, and she had been on migraine medication for much of my young life. And I definitely didn't want to go to that down that path, but I thought a neurologist might be able to at least give me an appropriate diagnosis. So I took with to me, to my neurologist, my MRI, and he was sketch. I mean, he wasn't sketch. He was exactly what you would expect from a very trained neurologist. And by trained, I mean, do what you're told to do and follow this particular procedure and don't necessarily think outside of it too much. But he did. And this is honestly why I was so nervous to go that day. I had this fear that I was going to go to the neurologist and they were not going to help me with what was going on, but they were going to tell me something terrible that I didn't want to know. And this is probably a lot of my concern with going to doctors, right? Like, you're not, anyway, all of that separate. So he diagnoses me with something called Chiari syndrome. Could be Chiari. I'm not sure. It's spelled Chiari, but I don't know how it's pronounced because I've never heard anybody say it out loud. But essentially, likely something I was either born with or a result of birth trauma, which is also not surprising because I was pulled out of my mom after really intensive labor with forceps. But the base of my cerebellum, literally my brain stem, extends down below where my skull is and into the top of my spinal cavity. And based on the degree to which one has this, I think there's like 4 degrees of severity, will determine a lot about someone's functioning and their ability to use, like, a lot of their nerves connected to their C1 and C2, right? So, like, their arms and all this kind of stuff. But headaches and dizziness are often a symptom of having this. And supposedly, most people don't discover they have it until they have an MRI for something else. That was me. And also that often symptoms, if they're going to appear, don't begin until later in life for people and can be set off by a variety of different things, even sneezing too hard, which I thought was interesting. But I mean, labor is a possibility. So all of a sudden now I'm like, I have this thing. It's literally like a deformity in my brain or something. And all of a sudden now, maybe because of this infection and the headache and the swelling, like, it's now been activated. And so now I have this other thing possibly going on, and maybe that's what's causing it. Interestingly enough, one of the other symptoms is pain at the base of the neck and radiating up into the head from the back, like over at the occipital. And I was beginning to have headaches there also. So now it's looking like, right? How many times has the story changed? Like, what is causing this headache? Now it's looking like it's this thing, and this thing is activated, and that's what's going on. So now I'm really relying on my physical therapist. He's coming every other week, and I'm starting to see my chiropractor's wife and getting to know her, who's incredible. She's a craniosacral practitioner. I always feel better after I have the sessions with Claudio, my PT. I always feel better after I have sessions with craniosacral sessions for like a few days, and then the headaches come back again. And so I'm also juggling with like, is this more anatomical? Because obviously the Chiari thing's a bit anatomical, with like implications for my nervous system, central nervous system, vagus, all of that. So I'm also doing like vagal nerve, practices. Like, I mean, obviously I'm stressed. I'm trying to do all these things to support that. And what else am I doing? I feel like at that point I've just been doing a lot of research. Okay, like certain people with Chiari have found that, conservative chiropractic adjustments could be helpful. I'm going to start maybe doing that again, really trying to focus on, if this is more anatomical, I need to work on my posture. I need to not carry the baby. I need to da da da. So I was really like reorienting my life around this. And also I mentioned, but kind of through this whole process, I'm always taking supplements, my regular supplements, but I was jumping on taking a lot of other things that I thought might maybe be the thing that could help make the thing go away, So I'm upping my anti-inflammatories, my turmeric, but I'm also taking bromelain and serapeptane every night before I go to bed, an anti-stomach, and every time I woke up in the morning. And meanwhile, while all of this is happening, another little story is beginning to develop in my brain. This might be my liver. I don't know where that came from. I just started to feel like, my skin's acting up. I was actually starting to have more acne, which I don't really have acne, but I'm postpartum. So I'm like, well, maybe it's my cycle trying to come back because it's definitely hormonal looking acne. But I'm having a lot of acne from right under my ears and like my jawbone and under my neck, which is an unusual place for me and definitely unusual for me to have this much acne. And so I was like, could this be that there's some liver stuff going on? So at first I'm like thinking maybe this isn't even related. So it's possible that this is maybe from, my hormones being imbalanced postpartum, likely because I haven't ovulated in so long, my progesterone's still low. I had been supplementing with progesterone, bioidentical progesterone cream early postpartum, but I'd stopped at about, I don't know, January or something, because I didn't want to take that forever. And I was just waiting to see if my cycle was going to come back. So I started to think it could be that I'm having some estrogen dominant symptoms, like along with everything else going on, right? And estrogen dominance can cause headaches. So it's like I'm still looking at different avenues also. So I started doing a bit of a gentle detox of estrogen. I'm eating more raw carrot salads. I'm having more cruciferous, and I'm taking sulforaphane. I'm taking calcium degluconate. I'm actually taking those two for a bit, and then I add in DIM a little later, DIM later. To support me with phase one liver detox. And so gently kind of taking those in the background for like my goal was like maybe a month and see if that supports me at all with that. But it's all part of the story of like maybe my liver is part of this. Maybe there's something going on with my liver. So also I start doing more milk thistle. Like I said, I was upping my turmeric for inflammation, but I know that helps with your liver. All this while I've been taking NAC and acetylcysteine pretty much since like January or February. And I also know that if you take NAC, it can somehow lower your zinc or your copper levels. So NAC is a antioxidant that's a precursor to glutathione, which is the most important antioxidant that is in your body, that your body creates. And it does a lot of that in the liver. And then I was also taking, what else? Oh, I was also taking oyster to boost my zinc levels. And that was ever since the infection, really. In December, I really upped taking more oyster for more zinc, but also taking the NAC. I knew I had to take more zinc and also depletes copper. So I was like, okay, I need to get more copper from, copper available foods. So obviously, I'm going to continue taking more of my beef liver capsules, which I'd already been doing for a while. Obviously, more bee pollen. I was like trying to get in with like chlorophyll, all the things I knew were going to help give me copper, cacao. But kind of another side note to the story. Postpartum, a lot of people in my life, a lot of my friends, a lot of practitioners who I respect, were really diving deeper into Morley Robbins' work and the root cause protocol. And I had already discovered that, frankly, had been pretty much on the root cause protocol, like not to the T about how they structure it, but like just daily what I was regularly doing for the last couple of years. So that looked like, yes, including bee pollen, that looked like having beef liver. That looked like magnesium, that looked like Epsom salt baths regularly, that looked like trying to think what else, the vitamin C, vitamin E I'd been doing for a while. The only couple things I hadn't really included that I could do while breastfeeding were taurine in the evenings and boron as an additive to support the absorption of magnesium. I'm trying to remember if there was anything else. So when I'm in this kind of immediate period postpartum, I'm thinking like, oh, I need more nutrients. Like my body's had lost all these minerals having the baby. Like I should probably really, commit to the root cause protocol and like really explore that more deeply. And frankly, I've been a guinea pig for my own healing work and my protocols for a long time. So I'm like, this is becoming really popular now. A lot of people I respect are doing this. Like, why don't I do that? So a couple of things that it asked is that, to up my intake of beef liver. So I've been eating liver throughout my pregnancy here and there, but I was taking beef liver capsules every day. At the time, I was taking Ancestral Supplements, which is a company that I've always really liked. I've been taking them for years, actually. I've taken their placenta, I've taken their organs, I've taken a lot of stuff from them. So I've been taking beef liver capsules for maybe 3 years at this point. But I was usually taking between three and six a day, but not necessarily every day. Also, at this point, I'm adding in cod liver oil. I used to do fish oil. I hadn't done fish oil in a while after I started to question PUFAs in fish oil. But when I was younger, I was taking a lot of fish oil because I did find that the added omega-3s made a big difference to my cognition. But, I was like, well, why don't I start taking some cod liver oil? Because that was recommended by the root cause protocol. But there's a lot of benefits to taking cod liver oil as opposed to just fish oil, but you still get the omega-3s, all the stuff. Added vitamin A, added vitamin D. So I'm doing that, and now I'm upping my beef liver capsules. So all of that is like higher now. I should probably say this is a side note. I realize I missed this part of the story. I was also wondering if my thyroid was part of the issue. Of course, I'm losing hair postpartum, which is normal, but I felt like I was losing more. And it's pretty common to have like postpartum thyroiditis. So, we looked at my thyroid levels, and from standard Western testing levels, they look normal, but they were a little bit suboptimal here and there. Specifically, my iodine levels were low. So I started taking kelp again, which I used to do years ago, because I'm like not living near the coast now. So I'm eating less seafood and less seaweed than I was eating in the States. So I was like, that makes sense. And I'm breastfeeding. You need more iodine. The baby needs iodine through the milk. So I was like, I'm going to start taking kelp daily. And some other things that are supportive of the thyroid, again, mostly from an herbal or Ayurvedic perspective. But my doctor recommended, like, well, why don't you try taking for a little bit some desiccated thyroid? I actually really appreciate this conversation he and I had because he was like, there's something going on with your body, and it's sometimes the case that because something's going on with your body, as an infection, for instance, your metabolism is going to slow down. Your thyroid is going to kind of depress a little bit. And it's actually an intelligent design by the body to get you to slow down so that you'll rest so that you can heal whatever's going on. So he was like, listen, we could get you the thyroid. And I'm thinking to myself, like, I just need the energy. Like, I don't have any energy. I feel so fatigued. I have a headache all the time. Like, this could be helpful for me. And so he said, I can give you this. It's going to give you more energy, but that more energy, might be counterproductive to what your body's trying to do. And I really appreciate that he had this conversation with me. But either way, I got on a very small dose, a very, very small dose of desiccated bovine thyroid. So I just brought that up because that's this whole other backstory about like maybe part of this is also related to my hormones and obviously the changes postpartum. Okay, but coming back to just about the present moment, I actually run out of my supplements about a month ago. Not everything, but I had run out of my beef liver. I'd run out of my cod liver oil and some other things I take. And I was going to have to place another order in the States. But I was waiting for some payments to go through before I dropped like a couple hundred dollars on more supplements. And I'm like starting to really weed through them. Like, okay, I know I've gone a little crazy with a lot of supplements. Obviously, the root cause protocol is kind of intensive, but also with all the things I'd been dealing with, I was kind of trying different things, right? For a while there, I was doing black seed oil for the infection. And, I just definitely gravitated toward taking some other things to see if it was going to support me. So I started to think, okay, I can't just be throwing all of these supplements at the situation when I genuinely don't even know if that's doing me any good. I still don't really have clarity on what this is. So for a while, I kind of let it go and I didn't re-up on my supplements. I was like, I'm just going to give myself a time to like clear off all of this and see what happens. And gradually, it was very gradual, like hardly noticeable for a while. But I started to feel like maybe I was having a little less headaches and I was having less of those dizzy spells, because all of that is happening through this whole time I'm talking about. But not extremely, just like a little bit, just like really microscopically. But I was attuned to knowing that it was making a difference. Then early on in June, we attend a friend's birthday party. And as part of her 40th birthday party, which was incredible, we did an all women's Temescal Mexican sweat lodge. And I haven't done a sweat lodge since. Actually, I had to do the sweat lodge early last year, and I was pregnant with Biana, which you're not supposed to do when you're pregnant, but I didn't know I was pregnant with her just yet. And it was really beautiful. And I was grateful I had that experience. So I go into the sweat lodge. We're in there for, I gotta say, between 2 and 3 hours for this sweat, but I'm loving it. I'm crying extremely. I mean, three out of the four gates of this, like of the four directions during the sweat lodge, I just bawled uncontrollably. I could barely even sing or drum or do anything. I was just crying. I had so many tears in me to cry that I feel like I hadn't been breaking down. So on an energetic level, in terms of like releasing, pent up tension from emotions that were not being felt, it was incredibly healing. But more interesting to me, and I thought likely obviously related, right, as the inner and the outer reflect each other, I didn't have a headache for almost 2 full weeks after that sweat lodge. So partially, I wanted to chalk it up to, yeah, you just had a lot of crying to do. And I'm like, wow, was it all just emotional? But meanwhile, sweating is also a detox. There was a huge detox happening that I hadn't had in a while. I generally use saunas regularly. I have a sauna. All of this has been in storage in our storage unit in California. I have not brought any of that stuff down because when we were thinking about doing it was when I got pregnant again. I didn't want my partner to leave and all of these things. So the things that we were initially planning to bring down with us in Mexico have been sitting up there, and we haven't had access to them. So, and down here in Mexico, there's not a lot of saunas, unlike how it was in Northern California. So I've been yearning for saunas. We definitely go to like the thermal waters here, the hot springs, pretty regularly, but nothing like a good sweat. Honestly, something that should be happening way more often. So I'm like, okay, there was a big detox happening, and that's why I feel better right now. So I'm like, okay, well, if it's detox, like maybe this is still related to my liver. This whole liver chapter started coming in again. Then my supplements arrive, right? Because in the background of all of this, I'm still ordering them. I'm like, okay, I'm going to order just the things I really think I need. And included in that order was my beef liver, which I take instead of my multivitamin, and the cod liver oil, all of that. Day one that I start taking it, my headache comes back. Day two, I have a headache. Day three, I have a headache. Day three also happened to be a day that my partner and I were invited to sit with a small dose. I guess it could be however you wanted it, but I chose to do a small dose of peyote medicine in kind of more of an informal ceremony at a friend's house for like a celebration and honoring of her. And I had never actually sat with peyote before. Peyote is a medicine that my partner had worked with for years in the peyote church teepee ceremonies of Northern California, but this was kind of like decades ago for him, and he hadn't sat in a long time. I had never had this experience specifically with this medicine, and it felt really nice to know that I waited until coming to Mexico and being very close to the native lands where this peyote medicine grows. The Huichol people are just a few hours north of us, but they're those groups of indigenous people, like really, and their medicines extend down to kind of about this area where we are in Guanajuato. So it was like, it felt really powerful to be connecting with this medicine here on the sacred, on the native land that the sacred medicine comes from. And we had our little daughter there, and it was just like super beautiful, very beautiful ceremony. And I was really getting to understand more about what this medicine is about. Interestingly enough, I'd been kind of like energetically microdosing with, so to speak, with peyote for some days before, because I had a friend give me a massage and she was using peyote oil or peyote salves, which are very popular here for muscle pain. And so she was trying to help me with my headaches by releasing some of the stress in my neck and shoulders, which, granted, that is always an added factor to the headache pain, but I knew it wasn't like the sole reason. but you know, releasing some of the tension in my shoulders and my neck where things have really been hurting, right? From possibly this Chiari thing and also from carrying my baby and just having all this neck tension. I mean, I feel like every day, all day, I was like trying to stretch my neck to not have pain in my neck and head. So yeah, so I was like connecting with the medicine for a little bit and then finally had this beautiful opportunity to sit in the ceremony. And all I prayed for in that ceremony was clarity around what was going on with my health. Like, I felt like I really put that intention into that work so deeply that I just want to know so that I can figure this out. Like, is it this? Is it this? You know, is it the Chiari? Is it something entirely different? Is it my like, whatever, whatever. The next day. Okay. So all of this is happening simultaneously. So also right before this peyote ceremony, my Healy arrives. I had had several friends who had reached out to me about the Healy. They were enamored with the product. They're working with the company. They're feeling really inspired with the mission. I just know a lot of people connected to Healy. And this has been kind of in my field from honestly the beginning of the year. But to me, I was like, listen, I don't have time for like a new gadget. I don't like, I need to figure something else out. This is obviously not going to be my be all end all, whatever. Like, I was just not quite at a place where I was ready to open the door for that. But after my MRI, after the Chiari diagnosis, after all of that, I was like, I'm fucking desperate right now for something that's going to help me with my pain. And, you know, dropping like $3,000 on a device that, you know, I really only have the words of my friends, testimonials, and some, you know, podcast I listen to or whatever, you know, to do. At this point, I was like, fuck it. Like, I don't know that I'm going to buy it otherwise, really. So I guess this is the reason to really get it and put it to the test and see if it's going to help me. So this is all kind of transpiring at the same time. The Healy arrives. I start using it for a couple of days. I'm not running any programs just yet on pain. I'm running the basic programs that they recommend for everyone who's just starting to use it to sort of prepare your body for working with it. So I'm going through that, the gold program, I'm going through the deep cycles program. And then when my headaches are getting really bad, I start kind of incorporating doing a couple of the pain programs for headaches, for migraines, and for neck pain. And I'm putting the electrodes on the back of my neck and kind of in those areas. And I found that within 20 minutes, it was like rapidly decreasing the pain I was experiencing. And also kind of a host of other things. I was sleeping deeper from using the Healy programs during the day, like not sleeping more hours. I was just going deep into sleep in the way, like I've always been a heavy deep sleeper until I had kids. So, you know, 34 years of my life, I was like a deep, like, I don't even like inception deep, layers upon layers of dream sleep sleeper until I had kids. And then I was like, oh, I just have shallow sleep now because my instincts need me to wake up if my baby rolls over or coughs or anything. So that's been interesting because that whole piece also happened. So it's reducing my pain. It is charging up my body. I was feeling a lot more energy, but I was also feeling I was conducting more electricity every time I was using it. I went from barely feeling it to feeling it a lot stronger. And it felt more on a more like energetic or timeline energy that things were starting to shift. Even the fact that like a couple days after that, I get invited to this peyote ceremony. I haven't sat with any plant medicine really for years now. And I used to work with plant medicine a lot. And I have a deep respect for it, but it's just like not really feeling drawn to it, feeling called to it. And I really only work with it when that happens to me. And I really feel like, okay, this is the time for this. So I felt like all of that was kind of shifting right after getting this like kind of quantum power frequency device, you know, that was really amplifying my vibration. At the time, my vibration was pretty weak, but it was beginning to shift that. And I could feel that happening. So then 24 hours after the ceremony, I am sitting, I'm wearing the Healy, I'm doing one of the programs. And I just get this idea. I'm like, what if I'm getting too much vitamin A from my beef liver and cod liver and all that things? And what if I'm actually dealing with too much vitamin A? I don't know where that even came from. And I was like, okay, let me like look up what hypervitaminosis or hypervitaminosis A, whatever, what vitamin A excess or toxicity looks like. And what happens with vitamin A, it's fat-soluble vitamin, and it is possible to have toxicity. There is acute toxicity where people eat like too much all at once. And then there is toxicity from having too much preformed vitamin A, which is retinol, which is in liver and things. And it can become chronic because it can develop and build up in the fat tissues over time. And that's because it's fat-soluble vitamin. So when your body has too much of it, it stores it in your liver. And eventually your liver can get bogged down with it, just like you can get bogged down with other toxins that can live in fat, essentially creating like fatty liver. And I look up, I was going literally to the ancestral supplements page on Amazon, and like I went to where it had all of the like one, because you know they have like 5 stars or 4.5 stars or whatever. But I was like, let me go hear what the people who are giving it like 1 star are saying. And a lot of people are like, this gave me headaches every day. This made me nauseous. This made me dizzy. This gave me vitamin A toxicity. You should never take this many pills as it recommends, blah, blah, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like all of a sudden, I'm like, wait, this is describing exactly how I've been feeling. And so I keep going down the rabbit hole of vitamin A toxicity and what the symptoms are. And it's like all of them, to the point that there were other ones that I was like, oh shit, that's related to that. Like I have been having blood in my boogers for like most of this year and a little bit into last year, honestly. And I was like, well, it's the dry climate here in Mexico, but it's like, should I have fucking bloody boogers every time that I like clean out my nose? Like, that's weird. But dry mucosal tissue, like dry eyes and also dry nasal passages, is very common in vitamin A toxicity. There are other ones, hair oiliness. I thought this was also a postpartum hormonal thing, like my acne. So I was like, well, maybe this is tied to that. But my hair has been way more oily at the scalp than normal. Also can be a vitamin A toxicity thing. My acne itself, because it affects the lymphatic flow. Obviously, if your liver is bogged down with things, they can't do as good of a job in detoxing. So the fact that I was even having acne was part of that. Like there's just all of these weird other possible things. The way it affected consciousness, the way it affected your, and also nausea, which nausea was becoming a part of the dynamic. I didn't talk about that so much, but I found that, like, for instance, if it got past 6 or 7 o'clock at night, I couldn't eat anymore. Like, I would feel nauseous just trying to eat. And that was weird for me because I feel like I have a really healthy appetite. I wake up hungry. Usually it's like, yeah, I don't want to eat a huge meal directly before I fall asleep or anything. But if for some reason I had a busy day and I didn't get around to having dinner till later, I could generally eat dinner. And what was becoming more and more common was that if it was past 7, I'd miss my window and I would just skip dinner because I wouldn't be able to eat. And that's weird for me. Like, I don't skip meals. If I can help it, I don't skip meals. So I messaged my doctor and I said, this is what I think is going on. This is what I've started to do. I started more vitamin E, which I've been doing all along. I started more taurine, which I've been doing all along. I continued with my zinc, but I made sure I was taking enough of that because at least, my baby, at least from what I was reading online, zinc, vitamin E, and taurine are all really supportive in helping the body flush the excess vitamin A out through the bile. And there were some other things that could be helpful. So those were all the things that I was trying, and I've essentially now continue to be on that protocol. But it became more severe. It wasn't just like just stop your beef liver and just stop your cod liver oil. I eat foods that are super high in vitamin A. I eat a lot of egg yolk. I eat organ meat, not all the time, but I eat organ meat, and I drink a lot of raw milk. And down here in Mexico, I feel like I've been having a lot of mangoes, a lot of carrots, which are all foods that are high in beta carotene, which is a precursor for vitamin A. So essentially where I'm at right now is I'm feeling the best I've ever felt because I have cut all vitamin A, not all, but the most of it out of my diet. I'm not eating any vitamin A foods. It also means I'm having to change my diet a lot, and that's causing me a little stress in terms of trying to figure out how to get in enough protein, get enough of the things that I need if I'm not eating eggs for breakfast and all of that. But unlike when I stopped these supplements last time because I ran out of them, but I was still eating the same, I was having incremental changes and feeling gradually better. But now that I've cut it out entirely, I'm feeling much better more quickly. Am I going to not eat eggs forever? No. I mean, unless I can't, which would just be very crazy to me. But I am factoring that it'll take me months to even possibly years to fully regenerate and detox my liver from this excess fat. I'm going to do some blood work in a couple months and see where we're at, kind of focus testing on that specifically. But this has been a really crazy roller coaster of a ride trying to figure out what's been going on with me. But you know, it's interesting when all of these other things were like, is this it? Like, I have so much clarity about the vitamin A being exactly why it's going on. Now, does that mean that I think the root cause protocol is bad or wrong or dangerous for people? I don't necessarily think so. Like I said, I've been taking vitamin A for years, but not as much as I was taking. And I don't understand if maybe there was something, like there could be something specific to me that made it more likely for me to have toxicity. So I think that there is a potential for that with people. So there's probably more that needs to be figured out there. I'm continuing to do my research. I'm nowhere near done figuring all this out. You know, I want to get to the bottom of this because I did feel really good in general doing kind of a more root cause way of supporting myself, but it got to a point for me where it was actually causing me toxicity. And yeah, it's crazy. I have had like literally the only headache I've had in the last couple of weeks has been the day that I did eat something with eggs. That was like leftover for my daughter. Otherwise, I'm not having pain. I mean, I'm still getting craniosacral work. I'm still getting some chiropractic work. I'm doing more energetic things. I'm using the Healy every day, and it is shifting things for me in a big way. But I also feel like on a mental, emotional level, even though I know like I'm turn the corner, but I'm still like in this healing journey. I still have to like continue to walk back down this mountain, you know? But I still feel like things have majorly shifted. The energy of change, the energy of like we're over this hump, we're over this really heavy period of this deep work with the body. That really has still felt shifted. And I do feel like a lot of that is related to, you know, more of the electromagnetic healing work of the Healy, because it feels like it's like that. It's not, it feels like I'm tapped back into a battery or a power source that I've been disconnected from for a while. And it really has like shifted the voltage and energy in my cells to do the healing that is necessary. Because it's not like it's the replacement, but it's supporting my body's ability to do the rest of the healing by giving me more ATP to myself, more energy to myself, helping with protein synthesis, doing all these things physiologically in my body that are allowing the supplements that I'm taking and the things that I'm trying to do to heal even better. You know, I'm doing a lot of lymphatic healing work. Obviously, I dry brush a bunch. I've been doing castor oil packs on my liver. I've been sweating more. At this point, I'm going to buy another sauna probably because I just need it down here. But I've been at least taking excruciatingly hot baths and sweating. So yeah, I'm coming at it from a variety of different ways to do this process. I don't want to do like a crazy liver detox right now. I want to just slowly work little by little, shovel by shovel, to clear this excess vitamin A out of my body. And I think another thing that's really trippy about this is that just now, like literally today, I think is the day that the nodes change signs from being in the Taurus Scorpio axis to the Aries Libra axis. And my natal nodes are on 0 degree of Taurus and Scorpio. So pretty much we just passed, like we just cleared that transit that I feel like has been the transit that has defined this period for me. And that is another piece where it's like, okay, that chapter is closed and things are moving forward now. And I feel like it's just been a really crazy story. So I'm grateful for any of you who have listened this far to me sharing this story, but I don't know that I've never told it like this from beginning to end, and all of the weird like gullies and grooves and detours and everything that we went on with this crazy journey. But this is what I've been fucking going through all the while doing my best to like continue to see clients and, you know, try to share my work and, you know, keep it together, be a mom, do all the things, you know, and I and feeling like I was just drowning. And now having faith that I'm being guided, and I have been guided. I've been guided to the answer. And it was a journey I kind of needed to go on for a variety of reasons. And I'm still learning what they are. I'm still integrating them. But it's making me a better person in terms of my like capability and compassion for holding myself in these dark spaces through chronic pain and through fear of my mortality as a mom and all of that. But also it's making me a better practitioner because a lot is coming up for me to understand and look at things that I had seen kind of one-dimensionally in a much deeper way. And it's brought this incredible new healing device into my life that I actually see as being something I'm going to incorporate into the work that I do with clients and that I really want to support getting out there because I do genuinely feel that this is the next frontier of medicine is working with frequency. And I kind of already knew that before I got a Healy. Like, from the astrology of moving into Pluto and Aquarius and what this next age looks like, I already felt like that was going to happen, but now I feel called to be kind of connected to that unfolding. Okay. I hope that you enjoyed this. If you have any comments or questions or connect anything you want to connect about, don't hesitate to reach out to me on social media, on womb_alchemist on Instagram, or you can send me an email, sabrinaudania.com, or at, sorry, sabrina@sabrinaudania.com. And yeah, I hope that this was enlightening for you all, as it has been for me. And I'll definitely continue through my stories and my shares and my newsletter to like fill you in on, you know, how things evolve in the future. And hopefully I'll be sharing more about this in ways that maybe I can support other people. I hope that you have a beautiful week.